Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing, is financial independence a good goal to have? All right, Matt, before we completely jump into it, word association, when you hear the word independence, what do you think of first?
Fourth of America.
Okay, yep. Some people call it that. Others call it Fourth of July.
Wait, what did I just say?
Fourth of America.
Yeah. That's just where my mind went, man. I'm sorry. I think I was thinking that, and I was also thinking about independent music. Like, I was thinking like indie.
Americana, something like that?
Yeah, Americana. Okay. Maybe that was it. Yeah, something about...
Now we're going way down this word association path.
Tears for fears, a horse with no name for 400, please.
Man, I don't know where this has gone. I'll tell you where I go when I think I hear the word independence, and I want to know if like we jive on this.
All right.
I think Will Smith.
Independence Day?
All yes.
Right. Yeah, nice.
So if any of you people, listeners out there are our age... Will Smith, Independence Day. That kind of, I mean, that is my rock center, the bedrock of independence in my imagination.
Right? I mean,
kicking some alien butt and saving the world from potential destruction.
Doesn't he actually say that in the movie at some point?
Oh, I'm sure. It's been a long time. So,
why did you even bring that up?
Well, I'm just saying
I'm waiting for the tie-in.
Today we're talking about financial independence.
Oh, gotcha.
And so because of that, I'm like, okay, well, what word comes to my mind when I'm talking about independence? And I just kind of want to give people, when we're talking about financial independence here, think about, I don't know, kicking alien butt maybe and saving your own personal world maybe.
You totally saw that in the movie theater when it came out, right?
Oh yeah.
Please tell me you did. Yeah, that was the huge blockbuster of the summer.
That and Hook. Those were big in the theaters when I was a kid.
I do remember Hook. That was a long time ago, but Independence Day, I specifically remember going to that with my cousin. It's kind of a long story. I'm not going to go into it, but yeah, he was in town and me and him went. I think it was maybe one of the first movies I went to without like a parent. Yeah.
Whoa.
Independence Day, man. It was awesome. Loved it. Okay, I think I loved it even more because of that. So.
Worst movie I ever saw with my parents was Titanic.
Let me guess why.
Obvious reasons. Fortunately for me, the movie theater was so full we had to sit in different sections of the movie, of the theater. So yeah. All right. That's enough about movies.
Oh, thank goodness I'm not sitting next to my mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Or my dad.
Exactly. So quick on the also on the topic of financial independence.
Yeah, financial independence, man.
I wanted to mention something that kind of came up just a couple weeks ago that I saw an article on, and I thought it fit in perfectly. A running back for the New York Giants. So football's right around the corner. This article came out about running back Saquon Barkley, and he said he plans to save his entire contract earnings and live solely off of endorsements. And he's this 21-year-old kid who just got signed to, I believe, a $31 million deal. And I love that he's already kind of thinking ahead, right? Like, he's going to save all $31 million of that for the future because he knows that his NFL career could last two years.
One tackle?
Yeah, one tackle. You really don't know. So I love that he's thinking ahead.
That's pretty awesome. I wonder how much that has to do with sort of him challenging himself to score those endorsement deals, or if he's just sort of, or if he had some good financial training, you know, maybe whether it be through school or, because I know there's certain states now that require financial education when it comes to graduating high school. Not many at all, but.
We need to talk about that at some point on the show because, I would love to see financial education, financial literacy in schools considered to be much more important. So,
yes, absolutely.
The one thing Saquon Barkley said that I got to tell
Saquon.
Him, he's got to listen to a couple of our episodes about whether you need a financial advisor. He says, I don't want to touch that salary. I'm going to invest it, put it in the right people's hands, learn as I continue to make investments and live off endorsement deals. And I think that's a cool mindset, but... Dude, don't put it in other people's hands. There's also a lot of people that get ripped off and their money stolen from them.
Yeah.
And especially NFL players, they attract, you know, those blood-sucking types. That, like, literally, man. I mean, it happens. Yeah. And so, Saquon, watch out, man. Watch your back because you don't need a financial advisor. Go listen to that episode.
Yeah, if any of you out there know Saquon, pass the word along. You keep saying NFL, man. What is NFL?
National Football League?
How do you NFL? How does one NFL, Joel?
I don't know. It's different than Fourth of America.
I just watch soccer these days. You know that.
I know. It's a lot of people in America watch it, so I figured it was worth talking about. It's interesting. So
speaking of abbreviations, NFL, BTC, that's Bitcoin, right? Isn't that that's the abbreviation for Bitcoin?
That's a good question. I don't know. I try not to follow cryptocurrency.
I don't either, except that it forced its way into my life because I was on the Cash App recently.
Yeah.
And it's got this new option. And I was like, what is BTC? And I clicked it and it was, would you like to buy some Bitcoin? So yeah, on the topic of those micro investing apps that we talked about recently, Cash App, man, they're kind of jumping in on that craze, and you click over to it and you're in like this Bitcoin submenu and there's buy and sell at the bottom. I could have bought some Bitcoin right there with the $8 that my buddy sent me. And I will say there was a warning there that popped up, and it was a nice warning letting you know that, hey, you could lose all this money. It essentially said, I can't remember exactly what it said. Oh, I wish I would have taken a screenshot.
Do you call it like speculation? Because I would hope it would use that word.
Yeah, but more Cash App friendly terms.
Okay.
It was basically like, hey, heads up, you might lose all this money.
Yeah.
Which I totally appreciate them doing because, yes, this is not FDIC insured if you switch your money over from Cash App to Bitcoin holdings. And it also, you could click sell. And when I went to click sell, it said, one cannot sell what one does not have. So it was pretty funny. But at the same time, I find that very interesting that I almost accidentally bought some Bitcoin. I mean, I didn't, but
good.
With two little clicks, dude, I could have.
It's incredible. Yeah, like we talked about in the micro investing apps episode, it's just getting so easy. And
it's
democratized to a point where, you know, there's a lot of good, a lot of benefit. But then also, you know, there's the flip side of the Bitcoin, as you might say, that people can buy something terrible and sell something quickly that they should be holding on to for the long term. So yeah, there's a lot to be nervous about too, kind of in this where we're at with these investing apps.
That's right, man. Oh, one more thing I wanted to share with you before we launch into financial independence. I know how much you love my hot tub.
No, I theoretically love your hot tub. It's never worked since you've owned it.
So we're starting to break ground on our home renovation, which also means that we're one step closer to having that extra space for the Airbnb. So
yes,
we're still a long ways from that, but just a little quick update for you folks out there. We will certainly be revisiting that soon, so you can look forward to that.
Yeah, and if you want to go kind of hear our harebrained ideas about starting an Airbnb, that was one of our earliest episodes.
Super early.
Yeah, so
have
check
you gone
that
back
out
and even listened to our episodes?
No, I'd probably cringe too much.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Just like cringing all day.
It's been a steep learning curve, but I like it, man.
Yeah, we're having fun. All right, today we are featuring a listener beer on the show, and Mike from Minnesota sent us a few awesome beers. And by the way,
awesome, as in he sent us four of them, and we cracked open two of them over the weekend because we were just hanging out, two IPAs, and those were amazing.
They were so good.
Both of those were really tasty.
And we figured we needed to try this one on the show from Wild Mind Artisan Ales. It's called Wind in the Willows, and it's an American Wild Ale.
Yeah, so first of all, I just want to give a huge thanks to Mike. Mike in Minnesota. Dude, thank you so much. We really appreciate you listening. And especially, thank you for sending these beers in.
And he listens intensely, I can tell, because he sent us literally our three favorite kinds of beers, right?
Like
a barrel-aged stout, a wild ale, and then two amazing hazy IPAs.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, let's crack this.
And first, man, we've actually gotten a few messages about beer donations. Folks have asked if they could send in some beers. Man, we would love that. If you've got some great breweries in your area, especially ones that don't distribute, so there's essentially zero chance of us getting our hands on that, we would love if you sent those in to us. Just send us a message, and we could let you know how to send those in.
Yeah, but only if you want to. No pressure.
Yeah, we love all of our listeners equally. Nice pour in this, Joel. This looks great.
Dude, this looks like a peach. It's like really fruit forward, but also super tart and juicy at the same time. It's like,
yeah, just juicy and acidic. I feel like the acidity level is really high, which I love. But this one, it feels good. It feels good on my tongue. It's like I'm licking a 9-volt. Did you ever do that as a kid? You like put the 9-volt to your tongue and kind of feel it tingle?
No, man. I didn't get as crazy as you did.
Oh, man. You haven't lived until you were licking 9-volts in the parking lot before you went in to see Independence Day in the movie theater.
Well, I know what I'm doing post-podcast now.
Yeah, this is a fantastic beer for the summer. A nice fruity American wild. So it's got those sort of wild yeast and bacteria in there. Gives it a little bit of funk. This is great summer drinking.
Yeah, that's so good. Seriously, Mike, thanks for sending that in, man.
Yeah, dude, you rock. We love it. And while we're at it, man, let's just go ahead and say that we'll crack open the fourth one next week. Yeah. You want to do that?
Yeah, what is it? Wait, stay tuned. You'll find out next week.
Sounds good.
All right, Matt, on to the topic at hand. Is financial independence a good goal to have? And really, you know, before we get into it, we kind of have to define it. And so I would say that financial independence is having enough assets where you don't have to actively work in order to pay your bills. And by the way, throughout this episode, we'll probably refer to financial independence as FI or FI, just because it shortens everything. FI, financial independence.
Financial independence. That's seven syllables.
Yeah, man, it's too much. So let's like call it FI a bunch. That's kind of the common jargon that people use talking about financial independence. So we'll call it FI a lot.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, before we even move further into it, that's something that's good to mention, is just talking about how financial independence, like FI, it's sort of this new, it's not new, right? Like people have had it and been doing it for hundreds of years.
Yeah, like French kings.
But lately, it's kind of been something that a lot of folks have been jumping on and is kind of gaining this momentum, is gaining steam. So there's sort of like these different groups of folks that sort of adhere to the financial independence principles and are working really hard to achieve that. And they all kind of talk to each other. Sort of like this cult almost, but it's not.
It's like a good cult.
Yeah.
But it's like the good kind.
Everyone lives for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, part of it has centered around a common way of being able to frame a topic. And so right. It used to be just kind of personal finance. And some people were kind of better at personal finance than other people. And now FI has kind of become a separate entity of personal finance. And there are people that kind of need help with some of the basics of personal finance. And Matt, you and I love talking about that. But we also love talking about financial independence and what that can bring to people. And that kind of shift in the approach has kind of led to this crop of people that are really actively engaging in a discussion about, you know, essentially personal finance on steroids. And there are some great podcasts and some great blogs kind of surrounding the topic, kind of really honing in on the topic of financial independence. And so we kind of want to address it because it's something that is near and dear to our hearts, but it's also not kind of what we center this podcast around at the same time.
Yeah. And in general, financial independence is a status, right? It's when you get to a certain point in your life, like you said, when your assets are able to generate enough income for you to cover your expenses. And typically that means when you have enough either in your retirement portfolio or either in ownership in a business, or you have cash flow from real estate and the equity growth there. It's a collection. It's not just a certain thing where it's like, okay, your investment portfolio or only your retirement account has to be that. It's a collection of all of your assets all together that can generate that income for you.
Sure. And we could get into the weeds on that, but we won't, because we really want to tackle the overall topic. Is it a good goal to have, and kind of give some explanations as to what FI is, and then also kind of what the traditional view is. And so let's get into that real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
The traditional view of retirement, really, if we could crystallize it, would be an old guy sitting on a front porch in his rocker with a gold company watch. That's the kind of stage of life he's in. And he's someone who has quote unquote retired. But unfortunately, even retirees may not be financially independent. And there have some recent articles showing that there was one in the New York Times just a couple of weeks ago about how retirees are declaring bankruptcy at an even faster rate, about how senior citizens, their student loan debt is skyrocketing, which is, it's just,
that sounds crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's senior citizens and student loan.
Yep.
Just doesn't equate.
I know, right? I know. There's this picture of retirement that is actually changing as well. Retirement is harder to achieve in this day and age. And it also looks different, where people maybe quit their job, so they're retired, right? But they're not actually financially independent.
Well, I think a huge part of that too, man, is pensions. I think a lot of that sort of early, what we'd call old school sort of mentality and outlook towards retirement has to do with pensions, where a company would offer that as a benefit and you kind of pay into it and you have this benefit. And then when you are finished working, you get that payout, you get that regular payout, and essentially that replaces your income.
It's like a forced method of savings where you don't have to be the one actively socking it away for the future.
Exactly. And then you just have companies that are either doing away with that or they go belly up and the pensions just aren't there anymore. And I think that has a lot to do with it as well. And that has a lot to do with that sort of mentality of retirement. You know, you commit your life, your body to a specific company, expecting them to take care of you when it's all said and done. And the world changes. Companies change. They're not companies that were here, aren't anymore. And I think that has contributed a lot towards, like you said, senior citizens that unfortunately are bankrupt.
Yeah. And the younger generation sees kind of the consumerism of their parents. And we'll get into consumerism a little more. I think it ties closely with financial independence. But we've seen that, and we've seen also, you know, the way companies have started to kind of change their promises, really. And that started with the doing away of the pension and companies going bust, people jumping ship. The kind of social compact that was in order for our parents' generation no longer holds true for people of our generation. And so we expect that a company is not necessarily loyal to us. And so we assume that we can't be too terribly loyal to a company. Who knows whether, you know, we'll be there 10 years or 2 years or 6 months even, right? Yeah. So that's definitely something to consider when you're on your path to financial independence, is that the workplace benefits you receive, they are not going to provide for you in retirement. Yeah, the burden is on you as a worker more now than it has been in previous generations.
Yeah, man, certainly. Also, too, we wanted to talk about how financial independence is a little bit different, too, than the growing early retirement movement, which is often abbreviated as FIRE. Again, you'll see a lot of financial bloggers and podcasts out there that are all about FIRE, and you're wondering, why are these bloggers so obsessed with pyro and everything's on fire and it's fire this, fire that? Well, it's because it's financial independence, retire early. And to me, at least, the sort of mentality behind the early retirement model is that they're going to work crazy hard right now in whatever job that they have that pays the highest so they can earn the most, sort of ignore their life for a short period of time so they can quit and then do whatever they want, right? It's sort of like this completely delayed mentality where you're not really enjoying much life at all right now in order to work the hardest that you possibly can for that sort of big payout at the end. And then, you know, and then you can kind of go on and enjoy life.
It's like stockpiling, right? For the
yeah.
future.
It's like preppers.
Yeah. They're like doomsday preppers of...
But with their money.
But with their money, exactly. So yeah, certainly that's not everyone that's in that community. There's
right.
a lot of good folks that Matt and I respect and are friends with that are in this, you know, FIRE community. But it takes on a lot of different forms. So we want you to know that some people, you know, it's life optimization to the max. It's get the best paying job that you can right now, even if, you know, it's soul sucking and you hate it. And you know, Matt and I would disagree with that. Hopefully on an episode in the near future, we'll kind of talk about our philosophy of work and what it means, you know, to have meaningful work. We think that's really important. But yeah, the FI mindset that we're talking about doesn't involve working at a job that you hate just to get paid more money so that you can quit a couple years earlier. And if you listen to the episode with our wives, that specific question was asked about financial independence. And that was something both of our wives, I thought, stated really well, that, you know, we're all about being financially secure and not having to work for a paycheck in the near future, hopefully, but not compromising how much we work and the actual work that we're doing. And yeah. So for us, it's important to still work at things that we love, even if they pay less than a job that we actually could probably go out there on the open market and get, because it's the best for our family and the best for the sake of our mind and our hearts, right? As we try to enjoy the work that we do and serve other people in that work.
Yeah, it's a balance between finding work that is financially satisfying, but also, yeah, emotionally and mentally satisfying, where you feel that you're truly helping somebody. And that's sort of our sort of philosophy towards work in a nutshell, is work or your job is a service, right? You get paid because you're doing something to help somebody and you are rewarded by, you know, getting paid. That has a lot to do, like you said, with our view towards work. And not that we think that you shouldn't retire, but that definitely informs our goals of not necessarily trying to stop working as soon as possible, but to instead find areas that we're more interested maybe in serving others.
Yeah, and one more thing, Matt, real quick. Financial independence can be achieved at almost any age, right? It doesn't have to do with the stage of your life like we talked about
right.
with the dude in the rocking chair and the gold watch who's, you know, got white hair. The financial independence, you know, if you're proactive and if you are a diligent saver and investor and you're thoughtful about where your money goes, you know, financial independence can be achieved at a relatively young age, and it doesn't even take working in a job that you hate. And so I think, you know, that's something that we want to stress in this episode, and we're going to get to right after the break when we dive a little further into the topic of, is financial independence a worthwhile goal for you?
Yeah, that's right, man. But first, let's take a break. So back to financial independence, and specifically, we want to answer whether or not we feel that financial independence is a worthwhile goal. And in short, yes, absolutely. And it's because that achieving FI will allow us to not have to work for money, though chances are we still will because of our views towards work that we just talked about. But FI will allow us to pursue whatever sort of work we want to, you know, and not be handcuffed to a job just because of the salary or the benefits. It'll allow us to volunteer more, or vacation more, you know, like the kind of things that people think of when you think of financial independence or retiring early, the quote unquote the fun things, right?
The good life. Come
on. Like, there's a reason too while we're trying to do this, and there's sacrifices we make now so that hopefully there's, you know, maybe a little more on the other side that we can enjoy.
Yeah, but of course it is a balance, right? Just like anything in life, you could go hog wild on FI and decide that you want to retire in 2.5 years and have the next 2.5 years of your life be the worst ones, right?
Move back home with mom and dad.
Right. Yeah.
Sell everything.
Literally eat ramen and drink water for every meal. Yeah. Right?
There's you need vitamins. I got scurvy.
Yeah, not a good plan, right? So it is a balance, and you could go crazy and attempt to be financially independent as soon as humanly possible. But what are you sacrificing in the interim?
Yeah.
And are you sacrificing relationships or meaningful work in the meantime? And we would say that's not a good idea. It's our goal here on Poor Not Poor to live a rich life now, and then also to not be poor, right? So we are thinking about the future. That's our mindset. We want to save diligently, invest well, to have a robust future for our families where we're not dependent on a job or a boss, or just, you know, day-to-day 9-to-5 work. But we also want to live richly now, which includes meaningful work and not wearing ourselves out for this future promise of FI right down the road.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. I mean, specifically, man, what I think of are my girls. Our oldest daughters are the same age. And anytime I think of them and I get super sentimental, I think about how the next 10 years are going to be the most formative years for them and how they see the world and their relationship to money and their relationship to us and their community and those around them. And what's also interesting to note is that in the next 10 years is also when I could achieve financial independence if I buckle down and really went after it and stuff like that. And so I'm so torn. And like you said, there's a balance because that's something that would be amazing to have, right? To have those options, to have that flexibility to decide what kind of work I want to do and what kind of hours I have at the end of those 10 years. But in those 10 years leading up to that, I don't want to sacrifice so much that I've got a weird relationship with my family or, you know, or to where I don't know them. Like, how disappointing would that be, you know, if I got to 10 years from now and I'm like, all right, FI has been achieved.
Let's spend a bunch of time together now, everyone.
And then everybody's kind of like, well, what do we do?
Who are you? Yeah, it's like that promise of, right, the FI pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Right. and it's just, it's kind of a mirage in some ways because if you're losing out on the things that are meaningful to you right now in this stage and you're willing to sacrifice those things at this current point for that future promise won't be nearly as meaningful.
Yeah, man. You got to keep that level head.
But here's another thing, Matt. Financial independence is actually way easier than people think it is. And that is because of our consumeristic culture, right? And we buy into so many things without even really thinking about it. And if we would just question our spending choices more, question, you know, the amount that we're actually able to save and invest, then I think financial independence is really achievable for a lot of people out there. That currently think that it's this pipe dream and it's not possible. And it doesn't require working 70-hour work weeks, right? Nose to the grindstone. But really, it just kind of takes some basic changes to your life and you can implement those and you can achieve financial independence, you know, before you are gold watch, rocking chair, white hair age, right? You really can do it. And so we believe that as well to our cores, that this is that you can make changes in your life that help you get to this place where you're financially free and you don't have to work for a paycheck every day. And you can do that, you know, before you're getting a hip surgery, right?
We keep talking about like this old man on the rocking porch and we're talking about movies. So who would you get to play like the old retiree on the front porch?
Morgan Freeman, probably.
Okay, I was going to say Clint Eastwood, which is basically the white version of Morgan Freeman, and vice versa.
Everyone should go watch Unforgiven, a movie that they were both in. One of the best westerns of all time.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good.
I know that they've been in movies together like as of lately. But anyway,
that one was probably like 10 years ago.
But was it?
Super solid.
I mean, 10 years ago is recently in my mind.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Honest with you. Yeah, and sort of going back to what you were saying and how it doesn't mean working 70 hours. It doesn't mean nose to the grindstone. It doesn't mean more of stuff. What it actually means, and the easiest way to achieve it, is less. It's less. Specifically, it means less spending. There's so much that we do, and there's so many little changes that we can make in our lives and in regards to specifically the things that take up the most money, which are, the first of all, housing. Find ways that you can cut back in your spending, specifically in regards to housing. Live in a smaller or maybe a cheaper house, right? Second thing that we spend the most money on is transportation. You've got to drive a used car. I think about the book, The Millionaire Next Door, and one of the consistent things that they found with almost all of the millionaires that they interviewed were that they just drove normal cars. They didn't drive, you know, the Maseratis or the Bugattis, whatever, all the fancy cars out there. It wasn't happening. Ford Explorers, I think, were like on the top of the list of these cars that just these old used vehicles that can kind of do anything. Like we would personally recommend like a Toyota Corolla or a dependable Honda, but buy used and then find other ways that you can cut your spending. You know, you could increase the amount you earn, and certainly that's a way to be able to save more, but that doesn't do much for you if you're also increasing how much you're spending every day and you're increasing your lifestyle. That raise, that bonus, that's not going to get you anywhere if you're also putting that towards a little lifestyle increase.
Yeah, so really with these bigger things, you're kind of acting like a salmon swimming upstream, because if you look at the recent history of, you know, housing sizes, since the 1970s, the average size of the house in America has more than doubled. Yeah, and so the average person around you is buying, let's say, like a 3,200 square foot house, right? But if you will make that one decision to have a smaller house, right, to live in 1,400 square feet as opposed to that 3,200 square foot house, you're going to save money every month, right, on your mortgage payment, most likely. You're going to save on heating and cooling bills.
Utilities, that's yeah. Right.
There's
furniture costs. You ain't got to outfit that entire mansion where you don't even spend time in any of those rooms.
Completely,
or
yeah.
Some of them.
And that's the thing, right? Yeah, and there's rooms that you have to clean that you never set foot in just because dust accumulates, right? So it really is more deliberate living and not taking the route that is most traveled, but choosing to live deliberately and taking that route that that most people don't go. And so smaller housing, driving an old car, you know, slashing your monthly expenses, that's another way you can do it. And we did an episode about cutting your monthly bills. Go listen that's to right. that one if you haven't listened to it yet. That should be kind of an inspiration to get started.
Those are the little small things that you can do starting tonight. I mean, there's the subscriptions that you can cancel and really start taking action yourself.
Yeah, and another change you need to make if you want to get on the bandwagon towards financial independence in your life is start investing in retirement accounts and or real estate, right? And a third option, also starting your own business, right? So those are the three main avenues that people take towards financial independence. So it is cutting back, right? Housing, cars, monthly bills, cutting back in all those areas. But then putting that money to work for you, as opposed to paying those monthly bills, that higher monthly mortgage payment, paying yourself, putting it in investments or towards, you know, starting a business that you're going to be able to back away from at some point and will kind of help run itself. Those are the kind of options that you have when you have a smaller outgoing amount every month. And that's really the path towards FI.
You didn't mention inheritances or like marrying rich. What about, aren't those like popular ways that you can...
They are, yeah. No, I mean, you totally can do that. You can, you know, off a parent that has a great life insurance policy.
Yeah, we just talked about the life insurance policy. Yeah. So like, husbands or wives out there who are working, watch out.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, for real, that's what people think though, that, hey, man, an inheritance, that's going to set me up for retirement, or that people bank on the future and they don't bank on themselves making these choices in their own life. And I will say too, Matt, I think it's really important to note that when we talk about swimming upstream, right, this is like a financial commitment, right, to swim upstream.
Oh, yeah.
And be different and allocate your finances differently. But the fringe benefits that actually are more than fringe benefits, this affects your entire life in a positive way by living more deliberately, by cutting out, you know, unnecessary spending, living in smaller spaces, driving older cars. The concept of what we've discussed as enough, right? Mm-hmm. Having enough in your life and not yearning, you know, for the next pair of jeans or new pair of shoes or newest smartphone. Like there's something that happens to you as a person when you become content and you are happy with the amount that you have. Like that is priceless. That's even more important, in my opinion, than the money that you're building up and having $500,000 in your Vanguard IRA or whatever it is. To me, that's the heart of FI.
Yeah, dude, it's working that muscle. This is something we've talked about before, where sort of saying no to yourself and resisting the urges, resisting the commercialism and the consumerism that's sort of force-fed to us. It's a muscle, and the more you do it, the better you get at it.
No doubt, Matt. And so a lot of people that are FI-minded, right, they have kind of a number in mind. Like, hey, when I hit this number in my retirement account, when I hit this many, you know, houses in my real estate portfolio that provide this much passive income, that's when I've kind of hit my FI number and I can quit my day job. I'm ready to go, right? And I think that is a useful tool, right? And the easiest way to do that, hey, how much do I spend annually? You know, what's my outgoing? You know, let's say it's $40,000 a year. That's your outgoing. Your FI number would be $1 million. So $1 million in assets, let's say in a retirement account, because you know, with the 4% withdrawal rule, you're going to be taking 4% of that amount, which is $40,000 every year, and you should hopefully never run out of money. That was a super simple explanation, but I want to say that Matt and I don't have a FI number. Like, I haven't sat down to calculate what my FI number is. We both have a strong financial independence mindset that this is, you know, definitely a goal of ours. And like we said, we think it's easier to achieve than a lot of people say. And for us, it is more about, you know, cutting consumerism out of our lives, living intentionally. And so that FI number, it's just not, you know, registering on my radar that I got to figure out what my FI number is. And also because, you know what, I enjoy all the work that I do. And I know that that can change, right? Things
certainly
can change.
Yeah, yeah.
Bosses can change. And that's another reason I think that FI is important, because what you love to do today can change tomorrow. But because I'm choosing meaningful work and I've got options at this point because of the way that I've saved and the investments that I've made, I don't really kind of feel the need to come carve out a FI number that I'm working towards. And so, yeah, I think it could be helpful for you, and having that meaningful goal maybe will help you, you know, kind of attack those, that saving and investing to get there quicker. But for us, yeah, it's not something that we think is crucial for us reaching that end goal.
You talked about the 25 times your expenses thing there, but that's a good rule of thumb. If you don't say if you're driving right now or exercising and you don't have like easy access to a calculator, just think 25 times your annual expenses. Typically, that's a really conservative estimate as to how much you need to have set aside in your assets to draw on in order to live financially independent and independent of work that you have to pursue. Again, that changes and it depends on the market and depends on a lot of things. That assumes that your expenses typically stay the same. And a lot of people will say that a lot of times they go down because your life changes. But yeah, in general, 25 times your annual expenses, that's how much you do want to have set aside. If you are trying to figure out what that number is, to sort of set a goal, to kind of put a number out there, that's the number you want to keep in mind.
Yeah, Matt, and right, the lower you're able to get your spending, right, the lower your FI number can be.
That's right.
Which is super cool. So that gives you really this strong motivation to slash spending, right, to drive a used car, to live in a smaller space, whatever it takes, you know, cut your spending. And there are a lot of episodes of our show that we kind of help you tackle those individual problems. This is kind of a bigger picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, mindset shift to thinking about the not this eventual retirement when you're 65 or 70, but seeing that financial independence is at reach, you know, much sooner if you would make some small changes now.
Well, I mean, that's all we talk about. it's either somehow to either make more money or to save money or to invest. And those three ways are the essence of financial independence. Like, there's no shortcut, right? There's no sort of magic pill that you can take to achieve financial independence. It takes doing one of those three things. And hopefully anybody that's listening isn't getting discouraged, because it seems like that what we're saying is hard.
Yeah.
And it's because it is. There's no sort of shortcut. It takes doing those three things, either earning more, cutting your expenses, and investing. And honestly, it doesn't take one of those things. It takes all three of those things.
Yep. Yeah, it takes the combo, right? And Matt, you wanted to share a tool that you've used to help crunch the numbers. But first, let's take a quick break.
And another sort of helpful tool that I have found incredibly helpful as well, because I'm with you, man. I've got meaningful work. I love it. I don't have a number sort of like written on like my cork board where I'm trying to achieve this number by a certain date or anything like that. But I do like looking at numbers, and because for me, seeing, I don't know, hard numbers for me just kind of clicks.
And you know, we've talked about this on the show. I'm more of a gut guy. So
yeah, yeah.
I'll know it when I get there.
Absolutely. But a tool that I have found is this amazing calculator that we'll link to in our show notes. And it crunches the number for you. But all you need to know is how much you make, how much you spend, and then it'll tell you how long it'll be before you achieve FI. Because if you know how much you make and how much you spend, and if you're investing the rest, like, that's the default, right? You earn a bunch and off of that you live, and then what you don't live off of, you should be investing. Yeah, and it also takes into account like your current portfolio size, and you can adjust that depending on what you've got going on. But if you're starting from scratch, you know, those three things are all you need to know. It'll help sort of shift your paradigm and the way you look at money, which is what it did for me. And so, yeah, man, I actually ran a quick example, and a lot of folks will say that 60,000 is sort of the average or maybe median American household income. But $60,000, if you have living expenses of $54,500, which is a lot of people, which means you're setting aside maybe in your Roth, like the $5,500 max. That kind of sounds like a lot, right? $5,500, I'm maxing out my Roth IRA.
Yeah, yeah. Traditional retirement experts will say, you're a great saver.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. Good job. Well,
that's a 10% savings rate. Yeah. Like, that's pretty huge.
Pat yourself on the back.
Exactly. So let's just say, though, that you just got your job, so you don't have anything in savings yet. Like, you don't have a portfolio built up yet. It'll be 50 years before you're financially independent.
That's tough to stomach, man.
Dude, 50 years. So, you know, if you are straight out of college and you're 22, 23 years old, yeah, that's 73 years old. I mean, I'm not striving for early retirement, but you hear 73 and that just sounds so far away.
Yeah, that sounds scary, especially, you know, when your options are really limited. To me, too, this is, and we talked about, you know, the frugality gives you options. That's kind of a part and parcel of this financial independence movement. And what we're talking about today is, you know, cutting back and being frugal and living, you know, developing a frugal mindset and then, you know, living that out and where your money goes every month. Like, that gives you so many options. And, you know, working towards financial independence through a mindset of frugality
gives back,
you even more options, right? More options are open to you. But if you're even, you know, what a lot of financial experts would say is a good saver, saving
10%.
10% of what,
like,
you make.
You hear that growing up. You hear, oh, if you set aside 10%, you're doing great. Like,
yep.
Keep it up. You'll do well.
And we would say, like, that's not a great goal. You know, we had someone, a listener write in recently and said, you know, was asking about which retirement account they should be funneling their money towards. And they said, well, if I did two, that might be overkill, right? And she asked some great questions, and we actually want to address that question on the show soon. But ultimately, yeah, that last line,
answer.
Well, she said, if I started contributing to both, that'd be overkill, right? And I want to say, no, not overkill at all.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, the more that you reduce expenses and you can start contributing to these, you know, retirement accounts or real estate or a business that is going to set you up for financial independence in the future, don't spend it, right? Like, that's the easy thing, is to say, I'd be overkill if I contribute to two retirement accounts. So I'm going to spend the rest and just, you know, max out one, or just right, do good at saving in my Roth IRA. And that'll be good enough. Well, sure, that'll get you retired by the age of 73.
Which is average, right? That's what the average American is doing. And we're here to say that, like, you don't want to be average. I think this might be tough to hear us say, because it sounds like maybe we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. On one side, we're saying, oh, don't go so crazy financial early retirement extreme that you're not living the life now. But at the same time, we're also saying, well, you don't want to wait until you're 70 something years old before you retire. There's a balance. And that's what's so hard to find. And that's why, you know, money is so personal. It's personal finance. It comes down so much to your preferences, I think, and what it is that you have set for goals. We didn't talk about this early on, but I think a good starting point is we did an episode called The Why Behind Money. And for me, and the way I think, you got to start there. You have to decide what it is that you want to achieve. What are your goals? What do you want to strive after? And that informs everything else you do. If you know why you're doing something, then the rest are just details. You can figure that out. You can Google, you can listen to podcasts, you can read articles. But if you don't have that motivation and you don't know why you're doing something, well, then you're just kind of going along with the flow. You know, you're that same and just getting swept downstream with the current with consumerism and just what everybody else is doing around you. So yeah, if you haven't listened to that episode yet, man, go back and listen to that one right after this one wraps up. Episode 12, The Why Behind Money. For me, that was, you know, that's kind of the starting point, and that informs everything else that you do.
Yeah. So if you're looking for more on the specifics that we talked about, like the biggest changes that you can make in your life now to achieve financial independence more quickly, you know, go back down through our history of podcast episodes, and you'll see some great stuff there to kind of help you implement these changes. But today we just kind of wanted to talk about, you know, the idea behind financial independence, help you understand how achievable it is and how it's achievable with really small changes. And it doesn't even take living an unbalanced life, right? Which I think some people in that FI community can kind of veer off into that lane.
Yeah, they might have more extreme personalities as well, you know?
Yeah, right? Yeah, if you're going to buy into this, sometimes you do
Let's do this, you know? Like, they're going all in and they say, you know, if I live this cheap of a life, I'm retired now. Like, I'm financially independent. If I live in my van.
Exactly. There's a lot of that.
Which some people do. It's just a subset of FI, but that's not what we're after.
Completely. Yeah. So we want to help you to understand that it's achievable, and it's achievable sooner than you think. And money is involved in this, right? Money is a huge part of this, but also kicking consumerism to the curb and approaching your life differently can actually provide tangible benefits that, in addition to just that savings and investing that you'll accrue over time, it will provide options in your life. But changing the way that you approach money overall and thinking with more of a FI mindset will help you live kind of a more deliberate life, which I think ultimately leads to a lot more happiness.
Yeah, dude, I'd have to agree.
All right, Matt, back to the beer. Wind in the Willows American Wild Ale with apricots.
Yeah, and this is something you said kind of off mic a second ago, was that the label of this looks like the color of the beer because it kind of has that fade, like that gradient you mentioned.
Yeah.
Dude, I totally get that. I missed it.
I'm insightful sometimes, aren't I?
You are. I love it. But we have thoroughly enjoyed this beer. This is very delicious. It's very acidic and aggressive.
Yeah, so thanks to Mike from Minnesota for sending those beers our way and the Wind in the Willows. Dude, it's gorgeous. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, let us know next time you're down in Atlanta. We'll have to meet up and hang out at one of our favorite breweries.
Yeah, we'll treat you to a beer. All right, Matt, kind of in summation, the financial independence we think is a fantastic goal for you to have. And it's so antithetical to that kind of traditional retirement mindset where you work for 50 years and then you enjoy, you know, the fruit of your labor for, you know, the next decade until you pass away and you're really too old.
Aww.
Yeah, I know, right? It's terrible. But that's kind of been the traditional retirement mindset. And I think what we're trying to infuse and we want to encourage is to think with a FI mindset.
Yep.
And that isn't just the idea of socking away as much money as you can right now so that you can eventually quit your job and stick it to the man, right? No, it is living a balanced life now. But we think a balanced life is kicking consumerism to the curb, living more intentionally. And we think if you do that and cut back in some of those major areas that we talked about, and don't listen to what the retirement experts say about saving 10% of your income, you can do way better than that.
Do more.
And you can get to a place of financial independence, you know, way sooner than you really thought you could.
All right, man. Final thoughts then on what to do next. You know, we are talking about financial independence, which is this very sort of big, broad topic. And it may not feel like that there are some hard, tangible things to do. I think the first thing that you need to do is go to our show notes, check out that retirement calculator that we have posted there. For me, the first time I entered our family's numbers in there, and to see what our sort of average American lifestyle was doing for us, that was a huge eye opener. And from there, I think a lot of times that's the kind of kick in the pants that you need to sort of open your eyes and to take the next steps and to start making those changes in your life. Check that out.
Yeah, sometimes you have to kind of eyes wide open, see the actual clear picture of where you're at. And that can be the motivating factor to make
huge.
A change.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of the same thing with budgets, right? Like to see what you're actually spending and you're shocked. You're like, oh my gosh, I had no clue that's how much we were spending. It's the same thing with this. It's like, oh, I had no clue that it was going to be 45 years before we had a chance to potentially retire. So do that. And then the next thing is just to know that everything we talk about on this show is pointing you in the direction of financial independence. We're either talking about increasing your income, right? Side hustles, ways to make additional money here or there. Or we're either talking about ways to cut your expenses. We're talking a lot about that. Ways to, you know, cut your monthly bills, ways to live on less. And like Joel said, have that mentality of living on less and being satisfied with what you have. And then thirdly, we're talking about what to do with that additional money. We're talking about investing it. And those three things are sort of the keys to financial independence and managing your money well and being in charge of your life. Yeah, and so those are the three things that you need to do. And just know that these are all things that we're all doing. Like we're all kind of working on this together. There's no shortcut. And just be encouraged that we're all kind of in this together. And hopefully through this podcast and the website and just our online presence, we can encourage each other and just kind of know that you can do it.
I know that there are a lot of people, you know, in our Facebook group that are all in on that bandwagon already, you know, and that's awesome. And then there are other people in our Facebook group that, you know, kind of more like beginners when it comes to money. And so
maybe they've never even heard the term.
Yeah. So where are you at? What did this episode do for you? And what does financial independence mean to you? Is it something that you strive for? And what do you think about, you know, financial independence kind of being that goal for you for, you know, ultimate financial security, but then also kind of for an intelligent and well-designed way to kind of live life now? Yeah, so leave a comment on our Facebook group on this post, and we'd love to hear kind of what financial independence means to you and how you're striking that balance of saving for the future, but living a meaningful life right now in the present as well.
That's right, man. I love that. That's what we're all about, that balance. So, as always, thank you to all of our listeners out there. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. We'll have our show notes up there for you, including that awesome early retirement calculator.
Yeah, and if you like what you hear, let us know. If you find this podcast helpful, leave a review. Every time you leave a review, an angel gets its wings. It's true. That's what I heard, and I believe it. So
many movie references this episode, man. I love it.
I know. So we'd love to hear from you, and be sure to also subscribe wherever you're finding this podcast. It helps us out and helps get the word out to other like-minded folks that want to find a community of people that care about stuff like FI.
That's right, man. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.